Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 131. My name is John. Common ruse, dirty face. Pretty noose is pretty hate. And I don't like what you got me hanging from. I thought about taking a couple of months off. I'm not arrogant enough to think anyone has noticed, but I've already done 12 podcasts this year. My goal is to do one podcast a month that lasts between 30 and 35 minutes. I may break it up into parts like I did in October, but the total of all the parts would still be in that general time frame. I'm 2 months ahead, and frankly, I'm really tired of all the fecal flinging in the political monkey house. I was all set to enjoy the holidays with Gina as much as possible, but pieces of this episode have been brewing around in my brain for the past couple of weeks, and I needed to get it out of me. Also, not long ago, DC and Warner Brothers announced Wonder Woman 1984 will be released in theaters and streaming on HBO Max on Christmas Day. So I will release a podcast about that. As you can probably already guess, I expect to love that movie. It is very rare that I go into any movie expecting to hate it. Even if people say they hate it, I look for reasons to like a movie, especially if I'm paying money to see it. So unless they break one of my cardinal rules of superhero movies or turn it into a 2-hour political statement, I'm going to like Wonder Woman 84. After that, I'll probably take January and February off and resume in March, which will be the 11-year anniversary of the podcast. Of course, if something happens that compels me to comment about it, I will. So, since I plan to take the first 2 months of the new year off, and this is the last all-political podcast of the year, I'm going to give you a couple of predictions. Here's what's going to happen. Within days of Biden's coronation, I'm sorry, inauguration, the media will begin a subtle transition in their reporting from the daily number of new COVID cases to the number of deaths in relation to new COVID cases. Once the unconstitutional lockdown begins, you will hear reports about the improvement in the ratio of deaths to cases. You will hear the number of deaths, but they will be spun positively as a small number relative to the new cases. By mid-spring, the media will declare the COVID crisis has ended and tout Biden as the hero. This has to be a fast turnaround because the Democrats will be desperate to get the economy working again, as it is no longer politically expedient to fearmonger the nation into lockdown submission. They would be doing it now if they hadn't doubled down on their rhetoric leading up to the election. Shortly after the 2020 midterm elections, Biden will either voluntarily step down or will be found unfit to perform the duties of the presidency, and the 25th Amendment will be triggered to place Kamala Harris as the president. Hillary Clinton will be named vice president. Why not within the first 6 months to a year, as so many others are predicting? Well, first, they don't want to make it look like that was their plan all along. Second, their economic schemes will barely keep the country sputtering along, so it will be very difficult for them to make any gains in the House or Senate. And their administration will look bleak coming up to 2024. However, if they have the first woman president who assumed office under difficult circumstances, they'll be able to claim she needs a chance to do things her way. Yes, I'm already predicting a Democratic victory in 4 years. As I've stated before, the 2020 election was not about which president to lead the country. This was about whether you want the communists or the imperialists to be in charge of the state police that will knock down your grandchildren's door. Congratulations, America. You chose the communists. Ah, hell, one more prediction. The Constitution of the United States of America will no longer be the governing law of the land by the tercentennial. By the way, it never really mattered to me who won the election, because I know we're fucked either way. This country is no longer a beacon of freedom. This country is no longer the stronghold of individual liberty. Those who call this nation home are not free, and the brave are in very short supply. That being said, is it possible that the Democrat Party somehow rigged the election? Well, it doesn't matter, because the country is already lost. But is it possible? I didn't really care until somebody reminded me of a very good point. Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential bid. Bernie Sanders had strong support from the run-of-the-mill delegates for the nomination, but Hillary was close behind. When the convention came, the Democrat leadership broke out their superdelegates and pushed Hillary through. Ironically, they then had the gall to bitch about their Electoral College loss, even though they won the popular vote. Again, it's meaningless because this nation is in its death throes. But could the election have been rigged and stolen by the Democrats, given how they treat their own in the same situation? Sure, it is possible. But to borrow a phrase from one of their own, what does it matter? Okay, now that the house cleaning and predictions are out of the way, I'd like to offer my congratulations. I should tell you that the remainder of this podcast is heavily soaked in acerbic sarcasm. So then, I'd like to congratulate the Democrats for proving once and for all that they accept and even endorse racism if it is done by members of their party. If you spent the last 4 years railing against Trump for his racism and immigration policy but voted for Biden, you're a fucking hypocrite. Imagine, if you will, an old, rich, white man with the unmitigated gall to dictate the terms of another person's ethnicity. Imagine a rich white man telling a person of color that they must do what he says in order to legitimize being a person of color. Imagine a white man of privilege saying your skin color means you can only think the same way he thinks and do what he tells you to do. Well, you don't have to imagine it. It happened. Joe Biden did exactly that when he answered a man questioning why he should vote for him, quote, "If you don't vote for me, you ain't black," end quote. It happened. The Democrats don't care. Not their leadership, not their rank and file, not their voting bloc. They didn't care that an old, rich, privileged white man told an entire race that their skin color dictates how they must think and therefore vote. When it comes to race relations, I think the only thing worse than assuming what someone believes based on their skin color is telling someone what they must believe and do because of their skin color. But once again, the Democrats don't care. Not their leadership, not their rank and file, not their voting bloc. 80 million people just didn't care that the man they are voting for, the man they are endorsing to lead the nation, would say such a blatantly racist thing. That's why you don't tear down the statues, folks. If you leave the statues, then people start questioning how they got there. They'll look into the people that put up the statues to begin with. They'll see the political party that was behind it all. They'll see the political party that strove for segregation. They'll see the political party that secretly began the KKK. They'll see the political party that fought to keep slavery in their states. They'll see the political party that is clandestinely responsible for the systemic racism in our society. They'll wonder why the presidential candidate championed a crime bill that led to an inordinate number of minority prisoners and profiling from law enforcement. They'll wonder why a vice presidential candidate locked up 20 times more African Americans than Caucasians in her career. Now, don't look at the facts. Look only where they tell you to look. Think only what they tell you to think. Never break the cycle. Black lives don't matter to the Democrats. Only black votes matter. That may help to explain why Biden's transition team includes the person responsible for the kids in cages immigration policy that started in the Obama administration. You can also expect that to be swept under the rug for the next 4 years, and Democrat voters to quickly forget who was responsible and what is still going on down at the border, even under their precious Democrat administration. Guess you fell for that too when creepy Uncle Biden told you, "That wasn't me, that was Obama." Congratulations to the 80 million people who were duped by a finely tuned spin machine that kept you ignorant and convinced you to hate anyone who didn't fall into goose step with your party's propaganda. Congratulations on voting for a bunch of racists. Like an arms merchant who sells guns to both sides of a war, the Democrats have their hands in both the systemic racism and the anti-racism movement. Why would they be fostering racism while speaking against it? Well, think about it. Who benefits? If racial conflicts finally end, what will happen to the Democrats who relied on those votes to get elected? The fear has to continue in order for them to gain and retain power. They don't want it to end because they need it to keep you afraid and their party in control. Just like cancer researchers have an incentive to never find the cure, or else they lose their jobs and government funding. Ooh, speaking of cures and diseases, we had real-world examples back in March of how to combat COVID from two of the countries that suffered the first wave of the virus. In South Korea, they took the tactic of massive testing and only quarantining the sick while letting the remaining citizens continue about their lives. Italy imposed massive lockdowns requiring everyone to stay home. In South Korea, just over 3% of the population tested positive, while over 16% of Italians tested positive. Italy had 15 times as many COVID deaths. Now, South Korea also tracked the people who tested positive using phone tracking and satellite technology, and that invasion of privacy is something I would have an ethical dilemma over. Nevertheless, the answer was clear. Lockdowns don't work. New York locked down and had a terrifying amount of COVID deaths. California touted its strict policy and is currently dealing with a surge in cases. Yet here we are facing a nationwide lockdown. Who benefits from more COVID deaths? Who might have gained politically if they could point to more deaths? It's almost like the push for the lockdowns gave a boost to the number of overall cases and deaths. It's almost like they purposely selected only the science that favored lockdowns in order to make more people sick and more people die so they could take political advantage of it. Crazy conspiracy theory. Operation Sea Spray in San Francisco. Operation Big Itch in Georgia. The Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment. Operation Top Hat. MK Ultra. The St. Louis Radiation Experiment. These are just some of the things done secretly and illegally by our government to unaware American citizens in the past 80 years. Do you really think the intentional spread of COVID is so far-fetched? How easy would it be to find some willing modern-day Typhoid Marys who want to discreetly infect people to rally support to their candidate? By the way, I hear report after report of people working on television or movie sets testing positive for COVID. Sometimes it's a well-known actor. Sometimes it's a nameless crew member, such as the one just reported on the set of The Flash. It's interesting that anytime something like that has happened, it shuts down the set for maybe 2 weeks, but then everyone's back to work. So let me get this straight. After confirming COVID has spread through their workplace, Hollywood elitists and people who work for them only get locked down for a fortnight. But because the rest of us might get COVID, we get arbitrary curfews and lockdowns that will last for 60 to 100 days, depending upon which draconian politician is speaking. How come waiters and bartenders have to sit at home wondering if they can find a way to make rent this month, while elitists who think they're smarter than us because they play smart people on television get to jump right back in to earn their $1 million paycheck? Congratulations to both Republicans and Democrats for finding all the worst ways to combat the COVID debacle. Congratulations to the Republican administration for choosing a COVID plan that brought the nation's economy to its knees. Congratulations to the Democrat voters who have made sure it will not be allowed to get back up. By the way, the president-elect promises a nationwide lockdown mandate, and the media is now wondering why toilet paper is flying off the shelves again. God, people are so fucking clueless sometimes. All you non-millennials out there probably remember back in the 80s and 90s when televangelists famously filled time on cable channels preaching their form of Christianity. As a former deacon, I can tell you I've probably forgotten more about the Bible than any of those guys ever knew to begin with. But these guys had a lot of people enthralled. Hell, I even remember being at a friend's house, and his sister-in-law ran everyone out of the living room so she could turn on some televangelist as she sat down with a pad and paper to take notes. You remember some of them getting involved in scandals, taking money from their charity, having sex with staff members. If you had been a follower of their programs back then, what would you have thought about their sermons after finding out all the unchristian things they did? Even if you still believed in religion, you can't think that they really believed what they preached. They certainly didn't practice it. But if they don't really believe it, why should you? I've stated for many years that there is no difference between those fallen televangelists and the dozens and dozens of climate change elitists who were flown in their private jets to a remote Pacific island to have a summit about how the rest of us should shrink our carbon footprint. There were so many jets, the island airport couldn't hold them all, and some of them had to be flown to another island just to park them for the summit. Do you really think those fools believe in the snake oil they're selling? If they don't really believe it, if they don't walk the walk, why should you? Now, we have politicians at every level of government telling us we have to wear our masks, stay in our homes, and some even say to wear masks in our own homes. We cannot get together with people who are not of our household. We cannot get together with more than 10 people in one place. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock warned people not to travel to prevent the spread of COVID. And then he flew to visit his family in Mississippi. Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuhl, God only knows if I'm pronouncing that name correctly, voted to ban all outdoor dining. And then dined outdoors at a Santa Monica restaurant. San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo spent Thanksgiving at his parents' house after telling his constituents not to get together with people outside their household. California Governor Gavin Newsom, one of the most outspoken proponents for draconian COVID restrictions, went to a celebratory birthday dinner at a restaurant with members of the California Medical Association. So it's not just the leader of that state, but also members of the state's medical association who hypocritically tell others what they can and cannot do. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo had his 89-year-old mother and two daughters over for Thanksgiving. You know something? That's actually pretty consistent, since he has already sent unknown numbers of senior citizens to their deaths. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was filmed at a hair salon not wearing a mask. She had the gall to say she was set up. But she knew her own rules and didn't think she had to follow them. And let me tell you, it's not just the elected officials. One of Gina's friends and one of our family members have been banging the drum on social media to wear masks, social distance, don't get together with other households, the whole bullshit enchilada. Gina's friend showed up at a get-together where my wife was and witnessed her friend break the rules she demanded of everybody else. A cousin of ours witnessed the family member break the rules as well. Hypocrisy isn't limited to politicians. That's why I've been saying that if you're afraid of COVID, you shouldn't ever leave your house at all. Get everything delivered. Don't go out in public. If it is as bad as you claim it to be, then fucking act like it. If you are at risk, then you should already be taking precautions. And if you aren't, then that's on you. I wear a mask wherever it's required. I don't want businesses to get fined for not following local ordinances, but the second I'm far enough away from everyone, the mask comes off. My 80-year-old mother told me back in July, when we were talking about what to do for her birthday, and told me once again last month when we talked about altering Thanksgiving plans. Now, this is certainly not verbatim. This is the core of what she told me. I'm 80 years old. I don't know how much longer I have left on this earth. If it's a choice between sitting at home alone in safety or risking my life to hold the people I love in my arms, then I'm going to risk my life. At what point will we no longer be content to simply continue to exist in fear and decide instead to live with risk? Folks, I've lost my livelihood. The industry I have worked for almost all my adult life has been devastated by COVID and may be fundamentally changed forever. The company I work for had lost 98% of its revenue. Even after this government-exacerbated debacle is over, there's no reason to believe that revenue will be back anytime soon, if ever. Look me in the eyes and ask me if I'm willing to risk death by COVID if it means getting my livelihood back. I'd like to congratulate the Republicans for proving they don't care about debt if it's raised by their administration. If you spent the 8 years of Obama railing against his horrendous increase of the national debt, but voted for Trump, you're a fucking hypocrite. $7 trillion added to the national debt under Trump's watch. Oh, that's nowhere near the $16 trillion added by Obama. Yeah, but it's 40% more than the $5 trillion added by Bush. So much for your vaunted outsider. Can't really drain the swamp if you're still shoveling taxpayer money into the bureaucracy. Gotta keep funding the war machine. Gotta keep dropping those bombs. If the nations of the Middle East stopped hating America and their citizens gave up their threats and attacks on the United States, what would happen to the Republicans who relied on that fear to get them votes? Congratulations to the 75 million voters duped into letting your taxpayer dollars fund bloodshed thousands of miles away that will one day lead to bloodshed here. Way to perpetuate the cycle, swamp drainers. Hypocrites. To hell with the lot. One last little string of thoughts as I wrap up my last All Politics podcast of the year. Here's what we've learned about each other, and more importantly, what our government has learned about us in 2020. Americans will wait in line in order to get provisions. Americans will demand their neighbors adhere to arbitrary government edicts and advocate police harassment to those who refuse to follow. Americans will ignore arbitrary government edicts if it is for actions that support their preferred government propaganda. Americans will gladly sacrifice the livelihood of anyone who is not considered essential. Americans vote based on hatred fostered by their political party towards the other political party. On the day that we exchange Orange Man Tyrant for Creepy Uncle Tyrant, our nation will still be at war, have crippling debt, be overtaxed, be overregulated, have its natural rights eroded, and hate each other because the other side dares to believe something different. And this nation will continue to deteriorate as long as the big government duopoly is allowed by its citizens to continue to promote this hatred and disrespect. One of my mandatory Halloween rituals is watching Shaun of the Dead. I got to thinking about the whole zombie mythos. If a zombie gets you, one of two things happens. Either you turn into a zombie, or you're eaten. As far as I'm concerned, the big government duopoly of Republicans and Democrats are all zombies. The only difference is what happens to you. Republicans want to turn you into one of their own. Stand for the national anthem. Send your loved ones off to war. And fund it with your taxes. So work hard and buy lots of stuff so our war machine can get its cut of the action. Democrats simply want to devour you. If you work hard to earn more and more pay, or work hard to build a business that allows you to achieve your dreams, they want to consume all that you have and all that you are to satisfy their hunger. Here's the question nobody's considered. What happens when the zombies have taken everything? As long as you, the voter, continue to allow big government spending from the party that claims to be for fiscal responsibility, the United States will continue to amass crippling debt that will one day destroy the country. As long as you, the voter, continue to allow systemic racism from the party that claims to be for tolerance, the United States will continue to divide itself until it is torn apart. Why do you keep listening to hate-filled political parties that time and time again do the exact opposite of what they tell you? This election was never about which candidate was better. This was about which side hates the other more. Therefore, it is no surprise both claimed victory. Congratulations to the 155 million voters for perpetuating the hate. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.